Now we're going to look at the second greeting. All that has to do with original sin has been dealt with in the first reading and the reflections on it. Now we look at the salvation. But it's impossible for us to realize where we would be if Jesus Christ, the Son of Mary, the Immaculate, had not come, talk to us, given us an example, and then finally in an act of love died and made reparation for all the sins of the human race and threw open once again the gate to heaven. Where would we be? We would have nothing to look forward to except death. Regular death and spiritual death. There'd be nothing for us. And so, what we're celebrating in this feast, you see, is the providence by which God came into the world. He came into the world as a human being. He was conceived in the womb of a woman who gave birth to him, cared for him, taught him, along with his father. And so, and then in an act of love, he died for us. After 3 years of talking to us, healing us, showing us his mercy, delivering from evil spirits, all of that then was captured in a literary way in the Bible, in the Gospels, but it's captured in another way in the very life of the church. In the very life of the church. And we are privileged to be living at a time when the Lord seems to be pouring out incredible graces of healing and knowledge all over the place. I think I read some to you a few weeks ago. This is happening right now. Well, it's all from the charismatic renewal. No, it's all from Jesus. And he can have anybody he wants. I know two young priests who were both very opposed to the charismatic renewal. But they were preachers. And so finally, newly ordained, after maybe several months, they began to preach again. I mean, like one day or one night at a retreat for a parish or something, they began to preach and people were healed. Well, that meant they had to take another look at the whole thing. And they did. And they are still a preaching team that goes with the blessing of their bishop all over the world preaching. And they report back to their bishop, and beautiful. And a beautiful relationship while I'm on the topic. The young priest, the one who didn't like the charismatic renewal at all, then this all happened, started happening to him. So he went to his bishop. He said, "Bishop, this is what's happening when I'm preaching. What should I do?" And the bishop, a real leader, said, "You know, I don't know much about that. I'm going to put you under the authority of another bishop I know who's had a lot of experience here. And you work with him for 3 years, then come back, and we'll discern where we go from there." Isn't that a father? Isn't that a big mind that is saying, "You're doing what? You're healing people, you know? No, this is from God, but I can't lead you in this since I have no experience myself. So go see Bishop so-and-so, and he'll be your bishop, acting bishop, for the next 3 years, and then we'll come back and assess." And from that came this twofold. He's back under his own bishop, and so is the other one, who's in the same diocese. And they go all over the world preaching and doing signs and wonders, mostly healing, just like Jesus. So, here now, we have this hymn in honor of the Incarnation and the effects of the Incarnation. This is Ephesians 1, 3-14. It's a hymn modeled on a Havarabba, a Jewish hymn. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, blessed be I, you see, who blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms in Christ, and he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and unblemished before him in love. You see, this is the theology underlying the Immaculate Conception. She was chosen before the foundation of the world and protected from the transmission of sin. He foreordained us for adoptive sonship through Jesus Christ for himself. We belong to God the Father for the praise of the glory of his grace by which he graced us in the Beloved. Which is so beautiful, huh? Igapimeno, that's the word, Beloved. In whom we have redemption in his blood. I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. Now her seed, her son, has broken the back on all Satan's domination by dying on the cross in an act of love. And that's why it's here as our reading. He made known to us the mystery of his will, God's, the Father's will, in keeping with his favor which he planned in him for the administering of the fullness of times, to sum up all things under one head in Christ, those on heaven and those on earth. In him we were allotted as a portion, being foreordained in keeping with the plan of him who brings about all things in keeping with the intention of his will, that we should be, for the praise of his glory, those who had first hoped in Christ. So now we're many centuries later, over 1,000 years, 2,000 years later, but we too, you see, are for the praise of his glory, in laudem gloriae. These were the words that mostly affected Sister Elizabeth of the Trinity, a woman almost just about contemporaneous with Saint Therese in France. And I think her cause, I've lost track, but it's supposed to be introduced if it isn't. So this is a blessing God, which means acknowledging his blessing. The text goes on, in him, you as well, having heard the word of truth. You see these beautiful words? You see? The word of truth. The good news of your salvation, you see? In him, you as well, having believed, were sealed with the Holy Spirit of the promise, who is the pledge of our inheritance. What does that mean? What's a pledge? Like a down payment. The Holy Spirit dwells in us, and the Father says, if you leave him there, if you're faithful to him, that is your down payment on heaven. I've already given it to you. And now you know where I want you to go. Just think, my friends, here we are thinking about these beautiful words from the Holy Spirit to help us respond to God. And so we're supposed to realize that this is us. See, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of the promise. That's the promise. I will put my Spirit in you and have you walk and all the rest. Well, he's here, and he's God, you see? And he's the pledge of our inheritance. And then I'm vouching for, the word vouching is not in the text, the redemption of God's possession. The text is, the working out of the times. It continues that way. And for the praise of his glory, in laudem gloriae gratiae obsessor, is epanon tis doxis aftur. Just think of those who understand the very things Paul is teaching us here. First, we understand what sin has done to ruin the human race. You're going to die. You know, and you're going to have wars between yourself, you know. But I will send my son, and he will rescue you and bring you to live with me if you just accept that and do what he tells you. You're out of trouble then. Isn't that marvelous? And that's what he says here. See, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms, you see. And so he's telling us that, you see. It's the a blessing. Who really praises God? Those who experience the immensity of his mercy and grace and love. Those are the ones. Our Lady, my soul magnifies the Lord. John the Baptist leapt for joy in his mother's womb. That can happen to us if we let the Lord show us how much he loves us, which means you pray every day. You read the scriptures every day, and you obey him. See, we're at point A, and what I'm trying to talk about is over here at point B. We don't even know what point B is, much less how to get there. But the Lord says, if you will obey me day by day, I will get you to point B. And your soul will be ravished with joy, even in this life. Suffering and physical pain, yeah, sure. But more than that, joy. Joy in the presence and the love and the knowing of that love of Jesus Christ, the very Son of God. That's what he's blessing. See? Blessed be the God and Father who blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavens, in the heavenly realms, in Christ. See? And that's what he's saying here. And the Holy Spirit is given to us. We're sealed with him. You know, when in archaeology we dig up these cups and jugs, and there's a seal on them. This belongs to King so-and-so. Or this belongs to Joe Blow. Stamped right on it. That's what the Holy Spirit is for us. He's God's stamp. Don't you fool with that one. He bears my stamp, my own spirit, who is equally eternal and divine. And he's stamped with that. You better watch yourself. That's what it means. And to know that, to experience that, that's what, as Pope Benedict told us, the whole church has to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And what does that mean? He said himself. It means to be aware, of what we have been given in baptism and confirmation. Aware. I believe it's in the book here. No. Aware. Of course, it's still faith. But that's the gift. So that's what he's saying here. You see? You as well, having heard the word of truth, the good news of your salvation, in him you as well, having believed, so you hear it and you believe it, and you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of the promise, who is the down payment of our inheritance, and it vouches for the redemption of God's possession. That's us, you see, God's special possession for the glory, for the praise of his glory, to praise that doxa, that kavod, that saving, radiant, loving presence. That's what we pray. That's why Sister Elizabeth the Trinity, I don't know where her cause is right now, but she called herself in Laudem Gloriae, from the Latin of this text, for the praise of his glory. Amen.